coming up on Thunder Pop.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the 38th episode of Thunder Pop, and I am joined today by, yes, indeed, once again for a third time back, the one and only Kirk-O-Matic.
Thunder Pop.
A.K.A. Kirk Hunter is back. He showed up with a toolbox
of sound effects.
Of sound effects. Yeah. Tool, like horns, bazookas.
He won't allow me to have any of these sounds on the show.
It's like the circus just showed up.
You have to.
And literally the circus...
it's dead air. It's dead air.
Literally the circus did just show up.
That's right. It's entertainment is our name and our game.
I got a movie for you, Kirk. This is the pitch. Kirk Hunter stars in the one-man circus.
Kirk-O-Matic.
We're happy to have you back, Kirk.
I appreciate it. It's
fun. With my fingers crossed behind my back.
That all this stuff is not going to interlude. You want to have it all on your garage band and in control in the minimalist way.
Something like that. Yeah, I know.
I know exactly what's going on. Introduce the show and let's get in on a rack-and-yacking.
Yeah.
Let's get rack-and-yacking on a TV show.
Okay. As I'm being held hostage by a crazed man.
Thunderdome.
On this episode, as we enter the summer months of 2017, ticket sales are down at the Cineplex.
Sad.
Is the film industry worried? This is for the second year in a row also that ticket sales have declined at the Cineplex. And of course, we're still early in the summer season, but... will anything save it? That's the question. So here's the question for you, Kirk. This episode, this 38th episode of Thunder Pop, I ask you the question, and we'll address this. Has Netflix killed the film star?
No.
Well, we're going to find out. Well, no, you're not supposed
to answer. I think it's iPhone. I think iPhone has killed the film star.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't Netflix. Maybe it was the iPhone. Well, we're going to answer those questions.
Redbox and Netflix are old, man.
And much, much more
okay.
On this episode of TP.
I lied.
Thunder Pop. Thunder Pop. Thunder Pop. Oh, Thunder Pop.
Metal Star Galactica.
Yeah. Yeah. Yowzy.
Yowzy.
Okay, so Kirk showed up. He's got all these toys and props. We also want to welcome our Periscope audience that's not joining us, but we were definitely inviting them, but they're not enjoying it, and they're not joining us
because we're not going to have dead air. I know I brought this because we had dead air last time, and this is going to accentuate.
I edit all the dead air out.
I know that.
Like when I go take a piss,
I thought this would be enjoyable.
If I got to go take a shit and I'm stuck on the toilet,
you don't have to have all that shit.
We edit all that out.
Okay.
But, so he's got something called the voice mutator.
Uh-huh.
He showed up with a
menagerie.
Yeah, this is a crab, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's a crab. It's a lobster.
A rubber
rock lobster.
He showed up with a rubber crab.
Yeah.
One of these. What do they call these instruments?
Cucaracha, man.
A cucaracha.
Yeah.
A little
a drum kit.
This is literally taking the concept of sound effects
out of your purvey,
and going really old school. He's got this. Yeah. Okay. So.
Cow.
He's got a...
don't have a cow.
Like a voice...
No, that's not a voice thing.
This is a sound effect machine.
Yeah, it's a little drum kit.
And then he's got one... Now, you told me this is the Battlestar Galactica.
It is.
Okay, do it, do it. Okay. I'll let you do it once.
We're going to talk about the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. You remember the Cylons?
So it sounds like a Cylon, yeah.
Yeah,
let me try that. Welcome to Thunder Pop. On this episode of Thunder Pop, we're going to talk about... has Netflix killed the film star?
Yeah. And you can plug in the radio killed the radio star.
radio. It's like,
yeah, it's Netflix video killed the radio. I think the iPhone did, though.
Netflix killed the radio star. Netflix killed. No, Netflix killed the film star. Right. Netflix killed.
Well, nobody
the film
can become famous.
Star.
And ever since Michael Jackson, it's over. It all. The what is pop star bigness? You cannot be big anymore.
Okay,
even so, Prince and David Bowie were on the down low. They couldn't come out with another album that was big enough, and so they had to go on tour to get huge amounts of merch sold.
Well, that's an interesting point you're bringing up. That sounds like it's totally out in left field, which normally anything you do bring up is totally out in left field. Mm-hmm. But no.
There's truth.
There used to be the big, like, mega musical stars.
That's right.
Okay? So those big mega musical stars were like Elvis Presley.
Right.
The Beatles.
Right.
If you go way back.
Right.
Frank Sinatra, even further back.
Huge.
Okay? Those are the huge ones.
Right.
Or as Trump would
say,
they
had marketing machines behind
them.
And Michael Jackson did, and Prince did, but I'm saying that
Madonna.
Madonna.
Rolling Stones.
They could only hold it for 10 years.
So they had those guys in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
And 90s.
By the 90s, though, it started to diminish a little bit.
Right, I agree.
Because the grunge era came in.
Right.
So we're talking about music.
Kurt Cobain was the last star of the 90s.
Yeah, he was. Well, he became kind of more of a bigger than life star even after he died. More so after. Like Jim Morrison became even bigger. And Bob Marley. They kind of became even more famous from their death.
Sure. Okay. Their death is big.
But Kurt Cobain was kind of supposedly anti-commercial.
Yeah.
Even though he did put himself on MTV.
And he got lots of commercial record play.
He got a lot of commercial record play, but he was the anti-commercial commercial guy.
Same with Green Day. I think that grunge era.
But that was all part of their brand.
Sure.
That's to say they're grungy and they don't like being on MTV,
right.
But they're still cashing those checks
right.
that they're getting from MTV.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but that was part of the branding. Okay, so but anyway, those big stars.
Right.
Those big stars, nowadays, because of the people aren't buying the
records.
They don't buy records.
No,
as
they
much
don't buy CDs.
They don't buy them like they used to.
No.
They
do you go into the shop and buy CDs or vinyls or anything?
Hell no.
It's too expensive.
Now, I do have a record player.
Right.
But
you have
a
collection.
I mean, I have like 10 records.
Yeah.
And I haven't bought a record in 3 years.
Yeah, because your generation is saying, I can just get downloaded and I don't want to pay for it.
So here's the thing. Yeah,
same for movies. Movies have to go to make bigger movies like those Marvel comics. They're just saying, I'm going to make Spider-Man. I'm going to make the fifth version of, Johnny Depp, anything with Johnny Depp in it is going to be big.
So
they pay more and more money into these great big-ass movies.
You had these big stars of music. You had these big stars of film. And, now... In the music industry, do you have those people that will be around in selling tickets like the Rolling Stones? Do you have someone like that now that'll be around 40 years from now still filling up stadiums?
No way.
Mm-mm. Even like some of these...
No, comedians I see filling the stadiums, like that Kevin Hart. He can fill a huge stadium because he's so funny, like Seinfeld and that whole crew.
Seinfeld,
But the star of capture... people not they're not going to spend all this money. I mean, I noticed that Lady Gaga comes to town twice a year now. She's playing at the Frank Irwin Center. Mm-hmm. She's coming to town. I don't know how much she's going to fill that. There's only 17,000 seats in the Frank Irwin Center. She should be filling the 360 live out there.
Well, and here's the thing. I guess there's a less loyalty now where they used to artists could stick around for 10, 15 years, and now
it's the iPhone. I'm telling you, it's the iPhone that's killing that. Because everybody's saying, I can see them immediately on the iPhone. I see Madonna's Twitter.
Yeah, so maybe there's not an appreciation for that. So now, let's fast forward let's move to film, okay?
Okay.
So now we've been through this before.
Sure.
I remember reading articles in the 80s. The movie industry is dying.
Yeah.
It's hurting. Cable. Right. Cable is hurting it.
Uh-huh.
It was cable TV back then. HBO.
Yeah. My streaming is killing it.
But now, and then also back then, the video stores.
Uh-huh.
VHS and VCR.
Right.
So those two things came in along in the 80s.
Right.
And there were newspaper articles that you could go back and read from the 80s where they were saying...
Sure.
Is the movie video store and is cable killing movie theaters? Are they going to be gone in 20, 30 years?
The internet is killing it. Look up a movie and get it almost immediately on the phone.
Now we're forwarding now X amount of years later, 2017.
Yeah.
We're saying the same thing now.
Sure.
But now is it Netflix and streaming and these platforms?
Uh-huh.
Are they killing the movie industry, or is it much ado about nothing like it was back in the 80s? Because the movie theater outlived the video store.
That's true. The movie
theater. We thought the video store was going to up-trump and overtake it.
Right.
But the last laugh is on the movie theater won that battle.
Right.
Okay. But here's the thing. The other thing was we thought cable was gonna take out the movie theater.
Yep.
But now cable is hurting. People are firing or they're cutting their cable bill.
Sure.
They're
going to the internet.
You hear that all the time now about people getting rid of cable.
Uh-huh.
Send me a heart if you've gotten rid of your cable on Periscope.
Yeah, that's it. They're doing
If people are getting rid of their cable,
mm-hmm.
say, because it's gotten very expensive.
Very expensive.
With all the deregulation and the merging of cable companies,
sure.
It's even a little bit scary now about how much more of a price increase we're going to have going forward.
For cable. For buying cable.
Everybody's
cutting their cable and they're going internet and they want to have it practically nothing. They'll spend lots of money. If you just try to get one section of just internet and your phone, they also slug in the cable. They want you to buy that cable as a package and you can't buy it separate.
Well, that's the only reason I haven't cut cable is because we get our internet
from
the cable company.
That's correct.
And we thought, if we cut the cable, we still need the internet.
They got
That's where you can't get by without your internet.
That's
in 2017.
That's right. You can't get away.
Unless you have some really good setup where you're poaching off a neighbor. Somebody,
that's
we used to do it when we were really broke. We would try to get cable the internet
from your friends.
The internet off a coffee shop.
Sure.
Can we get a coffee shop nearby?
I don't think you can get a coffee shop nearby.
In fact, when I used to go look for places...
It might be a slow coffee shop, but you're not going to do periscoping.
No, I mean, when I used to go back... We weren't trying to stream stuff back then off the internet. We were just trying to get on and do... We're talking about in the late 90s, early 2000s, mid-2000s, maybe.
Sure.
All we really wanted to do online was check our
email.
Social media, our email, and read an article.
Yeah.
And then online...
But you weren't watching movies.
And then girls.
And you
watched
TV.
Girls.
Right.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Girls.
You won't watch a TV.
Girls, the pictures, and maybe trying to find a hookup.
Yeah.
Online.
No TV.
But we weren't watching TV yet on that.
Now you got TV.
But now...
So you can stream your whole damn House of Cards right now. And it's good as movies.
But bottom line is a lot of people have gotten rid of cable and they've moved to these streaming boxes.
That's right.
Okay. They're still paying...
Apple Box.
They're still how much do you pay for internet? Because you have internet, but you don't do cable, right?
That's correct.
How much do you have to pay for your internet a month?
Well, I have to buy a hard line, so I'm paying $90 a month.
So they still got you for almost $100.
They got me.
They've almost got you for $100.
I'd love to cut
it. That's just internet.
I just love to cut it and just get a cell phone and just have
my tethering.
Internet on that.
But it's not fast enough.
It's not fast enough on Wi-Fi and all that. So they really got me.
They still get
and it's ridiculous.
And that's the goal, is that no matter what
platform
it is, whether it's just internet or satellite or cable, is they want to try to get everybody for at least $100.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they stay in business. That's how they stay in business.
That's right. How they stay in business.
That's the racket.
That's a racket.
Okay, so here's the deal.
But I'm happy to do that, and I want to cut the Wi-Fi, and I just want to go over to the coffee shop and check out. I do have friends.
Yeah.
I have friends that just have a cell phone, and they're living off the land, and they just go over to Taco Bell.
There's still people
They just do their Wi-Fi there.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
There's still guys that do that.
But they come over to my house, and they bleed off my Wi-Fi. So they're going over to people's houses and their Wi-Fi.
And they laugh all the way to the bank.
That's right. No, they're poor. They can't afford it.
They can't really afford it.
Right.
But they figured out a way to get their business, their work done.
Yeah.
Their work done.
They do it on the Craigslist.
They do it
the Goodwills
at
stuff.
Your house or coffee shop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your house or, well, it's Taco Bell. It's all these places.
Anywhere they can get Wi-Fi.
Sure, free.
And poach it.
Yeah, poachers.
Buy a burrito and get.
Yeah, buy a burrito, get the refund.
Okay, so here's the thing.
The stardom stuff. That's the.
But the question I have for you is this like the 80s again? Is it much to do about nothing? Or is this time, is it really a real concern for the movie theater industry?
I think it should be a real concern because it is a lot more expensive now to just simply people to go see a movie.
It's like going to
It's expensive.
It's almost like going to an NFL football game.
Just two people to go over to the Alamo and see a movie at 8 o'clock, and you're going to get a pizza and a couple of beer. That's a $55 deal.
Easy.
Now, it could be $100 if you have four people.
But you get a meal with that.
You get a meal, but it's a nice situation. But now, even South Park and the Cinemarks are doing this. They have the big, huge couch.
We were talking about this, the lounge seats.
And they're going to be providing beer and food.
Yeah, and so even like the big Cineplexes, so Alamo Drafthouse was
It's just too costly to drive there. That's the problem.
Well, there's that. So the Alamo Drafthouse was kind of the first out there to kind of reinvent the experience of the movie theater.
Right.
They did that here in Austin, and we got to see that first.
Everybody's caught up to it.
So they did it, and they started it with food and beer. You could drink your ass off.
Yeah.
And you could have food.
Yeah.
Pretty decent food.
Uh-huh.
And see a movie instead of the crappy-ass popcorn.
Right.
The crappy-ass hot dog.
And that's great. And a lot of more theaters.
And those chairs now, when you go after you, the chairs
huge.
Okay, the chairs are getting more comfortable. So then the next wave came the gold class, which is now called iPick.
Uh-huh.
They were the first that I saw in my city with the lounge chairs.
Yeah,
wow. And it was an extra, you had to pay extra price to go sit in their lounge chairs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they had also food brought to you. You could order food.
Yeah.
Good food, really.
And
good
you iPhone it.
And you could drink.
Yeah.
And you could have. And it was like great. Super cozy.
It's great, but it's not for the cheap person that wants to go see the movies and he sees three or four movies a week. That's the problem.
We still have that because we still have some discount cinema around.
Rarely.
There's a couple.
Rarely.
So like one of our old theaters in North Austin and one in Round Rock.
Galaxy?
That does discount. Galaxy does Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, okay.
$6, I think.
$6,
You know about the $6?
No, it's $5 at South Park.
But the old Alamo,
the
original Lake Line
Ritz?
Alamo.
Oh, Lake Line, okay.
On
does
Lane
it
3,
have cheap?
They are discount cinema now.
Okay, good.
And then also Round Rock has a discount cinema theater.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is that you can't sustain it for longer because you're talking to me as a filmmaker and film buff. I want to see three movies a week. That's a very costly situation. I got to go out and make some more money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll just wait till it gets on DVD. And therein lies Netflix.
See?
I'm waiting for, like you said, you got to see Superman. I'm going to wait till it gets on DVD. I'm going to wait for these movies.
Okay.
You know,
Bingo.
Covenant. I know the movie. Bingo. I know exactly what's going to go on. I'm going to say, I have a huge screen at home.
You got the big screen?
I got a huge
screen. How many inches screen do you have?
It's 60 inches.
You got the 60-inch now.
Yeah, huge.
I think
I got a Blu-ray. You know what? I got a Blu-ray at Goodwill for $5. I mean, come on. A Blu-ray player?
For how much?
$5.
Man, I got to go shopping with you.
Oh, yeah, man.
You got the bargains.
Oh, gosh. And it works great. You get a universal...
You go to the Goodwill over by your house?
No, I go to the Bunker House way out on Bluestein, and you can buy bulk.
Oh, I've heard about this place. Okay, this is like the central Goodwill station.
Yeah, and you got to rummage through like the pickers.
This is what they would call pro tip.
Yeah.
For people.
That's right.
If you want to bypass all the little Goodwill stores, you go to the big station.
Right.
And that's where all the stuff goes there before it goes back out to the store.
That's right. It rummages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you buy it by the pound. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Man, that's cool.
So that's killing it too.
You know how
because
I know?
Everybody's
you know,
saying, oh, I got tons of VHS.
You know how I know about the Central Station?
Yeah.
I haven't shopped there.
Yeah.
But after my puppy died, my dog.
Yeah.
So my wife, she had good intentions, but the next day she took the doggy beds because they were smelly.
Yeah.
When he passed away, it was just a lot, tough month. Mm. Of you know he peed on it a lot.
Yeah.
So she took them straight to Goodwill, cleaned them, and took them straight to Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I got emotional about it because I was like, well, that's his bed. I still wanted the bed because that was attached to it because it was his bed. So I went to the Goodwill that she went to drop it off to try to get it back.
Mm.
It had already went to the Central Station.
Sure.
Gus's bed.
And they're going to trash it.
And of course, I believe in ghosts when it comes to people or dogs.
Yeah.
So I thought, his ghost will want to come back and nap on the... You know, when you're kind of that stage of mourning.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I know about the Central Station.
Yeah, it is.
But I need to go there and shop for $5 Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Man, I want a $5 Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Is it really worth to get the Blu-ray? Because we still do DVD. Do I need
it? Right, no, but it came that way. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
They come by bulk.
What do you watch on Blu-ray? Do you go buy Blu-ray movies?
I don't get it. It just happened to be a deal.
When something's $5 and it's Blu-ray, you got to get it. You got to get Blu-ray for five. A Blu-ray player?
You're getting it by the pound. Yeah. It's a little thing.
Yeah, you got to get that when it's $5.
Yeah. You don't know whether it works. You got to buy it to find out if it works.
I'd buy a Laserdisc right now if it's $5.
It's crazy.
A Laserdisc machine.
You got to keep looking.
Yeah.
You got to rummage through all that crap. But that's beside the point. I'm just saying that you can get tons and tons of tapes and tons of DVDs that people just throw away.
Yeah.
So they're getting rid of that. So, and they're just doing streaming. Us in the poorer world, you got to get what you can get. I want to see a lot of movies. I don't want to sit there and wait.
So here's the bingo point. You hit on something. We were trying to figure out the magic potion. Yeah, we got someone in Periscope that's watching.
Oh, good.
It's free to watch us too on Periscope.
Yeah.
So anyway, when you're talking about the cost to go to a movie,
yeah, it's expensive.
Did we hit it right there on the nose? Why movie ticket sales? And then when you can have a 60-inch screen in your home,
right?
Fairly affordable to get a 60-inch now, isn't
Man,
it?
Man, I'm telling you, Walmart. God, money. Well, they're like $250. It's massive. It's three times as big as that. Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. I got that when they first started coming out.
Yeah, I know
He's looking at my Vizio across the room. That's 32-inch.
Now you can get a 60-inch for $200.
And I thought that was the greatest thing ever.
And you can get a little projector as big as this, and it'll project. Oh, it's massive.
And we finally got downstairs. We won in a drawing a 37-inch downstairs. Yeah. And I thought that was an upgrade.
No.
But no, 60-inch. Yeah. You're starting now. Hello. We're talking about
go over there to Walmart. The day before. This is when to buy that. Mm-hmm. The day or Christmas. the week before Super Bowl is the best deal.
Would Black Friday be the best deal?
No, Super Bowl. Because everybody wants to get a big screen before the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you, that's the best time to buy at Walmart.
Okay.
You know,
that's a pro tip.
Or Costco or any of the big boxes.
That's a pro tip. Because I want a 60-inch to watch football games.
I mean, if you want huge. And you can get these little projectors now that'll do 80 inches on a widescreen.
No, that's one I want. That's the Scooby-Doo.
Just get the little Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's
the Scooby-Doo. I'm just saying, you know, the technology changes and keeps it cheaper, I want to see three movies a week. I'm not sitting around waiting to go over to see Pirates of the Caribbean. I want to see other movies. So, well, you know, you got to go through the streaming, or you got to get Netflix or something like that.
And if you're a serious film watcher?
Yeah, you got to watch a lot of movies.
The time you spent to go to that one movie and the money you spent, it would be very easy to get two movies in that window of time.
Five movies at that time.
On your 60-inch at home.
Yeah, and that's what I do.
Oh, it's the sound effects.
Oh, it's Jay Leno, man.
Ba-da-bump.
Oh, you can speed it up.
Oh, it can do an electric dance EDM version.
Yeah, you only have to do this. There it is.
I need to get one of these.
Oh, yeah.
Is this another Goodwill find?
No. Toy Joy.
Toy Joy! Yeah. Yes.
That's the best store.
Okay, let's shut it off. How do I shut it off?
You have to wait.
Shut the damn thing off. Ah!
Just wait for it to stop. Don't punch it. That's it.
I'm putting this away. I'm putting this away. It's enough of that business.
That was an interlude of a change of the subject now.
So there it is. You hit it on the nose. You think you've come up with the magic formula. Ticket sales are too expensive to go to the movie right now.
To many movies. If you only go see one, let's say you got the $50,000 a year job.
Right.
And you can afford to go each week to the movie and take your kids. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's fine. That's a special thing. And you should go and you should support the movies. I think that's great. But if you're a film buff like me, I'm going to see three and five movies a week. And then you got all the TV shows to watch, too.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the streaming and how that may be playing a role in this, or it is playing a role in all this.
Sure, it is.
So, great technology at home now available to you
that
you can watch all your programming
on. You're streaming stuff off of this.
Then you at the top of the show, you mentioned iPhones.
Yeah, iPhones.
That you think that's played a factor because millennials, they have gotten used to watching programs on small devices.
Not only that, you know what's interrupting and disruptive about that?
A lot of things.
Well, a good example is I'm making my own YouTube TV show. And what do? I send it to you.
Right.
I send it to all my friends. Mm-hmm. Everybody sees it on Facebook. Well, that's cutting back You should be going to see movies or watching TV. No, you're watching self TV. People are making selfie TV, and people's, oh, I'm producing my own television show. Mm-hmm. So I'm not spending any time watching other people's movies other than on the iPhone. You're watching my YouTube channel.
Everybody is making their own content.
That's right.
And they're
eats into the TV world.
Because we only have so many. I mean, if you work a regular job,
right,
40 hours a week,
right,
you've only got so much X amount of time
to watch TV,
to consume media.
Right.
And now people are making their, more and more people are making their own media.
That's right. And they're sharing it more because they like to do it.
And a lot of really creative stuff out there.
Sure, tons of it.
It's gotten very, like, good.
Uh-huh.
Because people are shooting constantly.
Uh-huh.
They're in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I think the acting has gotten better.
Do you know how much footage is uploaded every minute? 10,000 hours to YouTube every minute.
Wow.
And so that tells you how much, a lot of stuff is going out.
That's Access TV on steroids.
Yeah, it is. It's beyond steroids.
Beyond steroids.
Yeah, it's way better.
It's like on
radioactive. So you know a lot of people are watching other people's stuff.
Radioactive steroids.
Yeah, radioactive.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Okay, we look at this article. Hollywood just suffered its worst Memorial Day weekend in 18 years. So it even goes beyond.
I had high hopes for, the Johnny Depp.
Well, you know, that movie actually won its weekend.
Did it get its weekend?
And it did well. But it was the overall ticket sales was down. Baywatch bombed.
Of course, we knew that.
Baywatch bombed. Yeah. And then there were...
But they don't care because they can make overseas money.
All signs suggest that Warner Brothers is about to deliver a much-needed hit, though. So people believe, and this we'll know this before this podcast even comes out, whether Wonder Woman can be the hit that movie industry so needs right now.
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe.
And the reviews were good.
Yeah.
They were, for the most part, good.
Starts Friday?
That starts this weekend. Okay. Starts Thursday night in most theaters. And by the time you listen to this,
right,
we'll know whether it was the movie blockbuster that theaters needed.
I think
it's unique enough, a female superhero movie that we have not really had.
That's true.
But I think there's been enough buzz about it.
Johnny Depp to hold out because they want to see those pirates. The pirates is all the king.
Pirates did well because it appeals to older audience, appeals to younger audience, gets the kids.
It's got the full range.
It's already a built-in brand.
Yeah.
I was personally a little worried about it because of the PR hit that Johnny Depp took in recent, last couple of years.
Yeah, but him personally, his nuttiness is always a discount. I would say it's the movie that always wins. It's just going to be a crazy time.
I mean,
it's a roller coaster to watch.
Yeah, and he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
He's very good in that role.
And he pulls it off.
It was the role he was born to play. It's always. Of all the roles Johnny Depp's ever done, that is the role he's going to be known for.
And also, in this particular one, he is younger self. And the makeup job and the effects on the younger kid.
Is it a prequel?
It's a prequel and a fifth. But what's weird is he plays a younger self, a 10-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And a 10-year-old version of yourself is really incredible after effect.
That's a feat. We had a show on that, too, about how they're using CGI.
Yeah, this thing is mind-boggling.
Well, Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy, they made him his younger version in the early part of the movie. The movie starts with him.
Oh, really?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But Kurt Russell, we see him, younger Kurt Russell.
And
we see the older Kurt Russell. And it was the best I've
seen
so
example.
Far.
I am waiting for that because I think I've already seen that in number one.
Yeah. So here's that. And then we got... they say that... all signs suggest, they're talking about Wonder Woman, but that probably won't be enough to lift the movie business out of its funk. It's talking about Wonder Woman there.
Yeah.
With summer ticket sales down 9% from the same period last year, according to Comic Score, last weekend's debut of Pirates of the Caribbean, so here it is, Dead Men Tell No Tales, topped the charts with $77 million in the U.S. and Canada. But it's down significantly from its predecessor, on Stranger Tides, what it did on its first weekend.
Yeah, of course.
So Baywatch wiped out at $27.6 million in 5 days, and that's not good.
Yeah.
Considering the star power and how much they spent on it.
It was $200 million.
It got poor reviews, though, so that did not help it.
Right. But everybody knew going in that it was cheesy. It's going to get overseas like a big dog.
So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, it started off May big in a big way with $338 million.
It's number two now.
But now it's been mostly downhill. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
That bombed.
Yeah, that bombed. And, of course, it got a lot of people that really went after it online.
It didn't have enough effects.
Well, and it's got that Guy Ritchie editing. And a lot of people didn't think, okay, that was really cool in Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Yeah, it's
but
okay.
Does it work on this period piece?
No, it won't.
It was not.
Can't have rock and roll period.
It was too much.
They've tried to do that with Excalibur, rock and roll hit. You know, rock and roll and period piece like that old, you can't do it.
It's just too.
Unless you have, what is
it's
it?
It's too cheesy.
Yeah. What was the guy with the four of feathers?
Robin Hood.
No. Well, anyway.
American audiences seem to be growing weary of preponderance of sequels. So that's the other thing, is people think that maybe there's an overabundance of sequels, reboots. I could have told them this. Hello, I could have told them this 10 years ago when I tried to sell them a script. And they went and copied it and just made it a different, and changed the name.
They kicked your ass all over the place.
They changed, literally.
It kicked his,
pun
kicked,
no kick, pun.
Yeah, pun intended.
Pun intended and pun intended. But so there, I mean, we got the sequels, the prequels, the reboots.
Yeah.
It's all over the cinema. And do you think that could play a role in this? Are people wanting some original shit?
People do want original stuff, but what is at a loss right now, particularly, is that you cannot make in Hollywood, or even in lowly little Texas, you cannot make the $3 to $5 million low budget film. And that's what's missing. You could only make these $40 million to $100 million pictures with all the marketing behind it and a face, a Hollywood face that you recognize from either TV or movie star or has been. The problem is that there is no medium range motion picture.
That's what's missing now. We get this small indie film at the art house theater.
Right. You do, but you don't get as much of play from the film festivals, I think.
We don't get the medium films anymore.
You don't get the medium films.
Not high, because there's no room for them.
There's no slackers.
Because the big tentpole Star Wars, Marvel movies, DC movies have become these multi-franchises that are putting out various movies throughout the year,
and I'll tell you
to support their different superheroes.
Correct.
And so,
and then here's the other thing, when they open, they
get multiple screens.
Right. Let me say something that's really important that you've not noticed, have noticed. There's big suckage going on. The guys that are directing these movies were independent filmmakers, like Galaxy.
Some have been, they
were real low-budget filmmakers,
yeah.
And now they've been lurched into Star Trek, lurched into...
By Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. And they say,
and make our big movies.
If you let me make the film that I think you want, I will do that. And they're not necessarily the biggest hits always, but they are these $100 million pictures.
Well,
and it's the Michael Bay effect.
You can go to DC... The DC films that have not done so great since Dark Knight. The Dark Knight series was an exception with Nolan. Mm-hmm. They were masterpieces. Masterpieces. Yeah. You've seen all three, right?
And before that it was Tim Burton that was with the Dark
Tim Horse. Burton that did the Batmans.
Yeah.
But it was
a Dark Horse film.
Then they went toys and they got Joel Schumacher to make the toy movies that didn't do so well.
That's right.
But they went back to gritty with Dark Knight.
Right.
But lately,
which is brilliant.
They've been trying to reboot the DC in the same vein as the Marvel, where they're going to have a Justice League, and they can create a movie around each superhero every year.
And I'll bet you they'll have a young Turk director that had been making low-budget films.
These movies didn't do so well, and a lot of people want to go directly to the director of Batman vs. Superman.
Sure.
And of the Man of Steel, and say, oh, it was Zack Snyder, this fault. Uh-huh. But then others will say, no, it's the... it's the studio. It's Warner Brothers, and their manipulation after they get the footage, they want to go in and they want to control the editing, and the director is not getting a say on the final product that's making the screen, and that's been a lot of people's allegations against.
Yeah. Sure.
And so
give some kind of excuse for that.
Finally, Wonder Woman getting great reviews, people praising the screenwriter, people praising the director.
Sure.
But then people said, but the ending is not quite what it should have been. It looks like the studio came in and started fucking with it.
Yeah.
Because of whatever reason.
Uh-huh. Mass market appeal.
There's a bunch of chiefs in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Is that the saying?
Oh, yeah. There's too many chefs.
So that goes to what you're saying.
Yeah.
An indie filmmaker that makes brilliant
Yeah, if he gets final films, cut. If he gets final cut,
but he doesn't always get final cut when he once he gets seduced and brought into the to Hollywood's bed.
But didn't that happen?
And once he gets in bed with the devil, he doesn't always get final say on the cut like he did when he was making his small films.
That's correct.
He gets to direct the movie,
right?
But who's over his shoulder when he's directing? That's even the bigger question.
Oh yeah, and there are other people. Yeah,
because like in Star Wars,
right? Tell me about the guy that did Beyond Star Trek. Now, wasn't he...
Well, there you go. J.J. Abrams that did the Star Trek reboot movies.
Hi, I'm J.J. Abrams.
He did one and two. A different guy came in and did the third one.
And then Rogue One was done by...
Simon Pegg did the third one.
Okay, and then Rogue One, too.
No, not Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg wrote the screenplay for third.
Okay. And then and what happened to the Galaxy series? They said, oh, you're an independent filmmaker, and we're going to let you handle all that.
Yeah.
And
I believe Marvel... gets out of the way more so with the directors of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
They have a better reputation. With Warner Brothers, it seems like there's been some issues where people have speculated that maybe there's more intrusion in the final product.
It could be.
And they're not coming out the way the directors originally would have imagined.
Sure.
And then they've kind of learned their lesson.
Because they fight for that. They fight that when they're negotiating the deal. They fight for the final cut.
Well, and they kind of finally have started to learn their lesson, and they got out of the way a little bit more of the Wonder Woman people.
Yeah.
But they still
have a lot of high hopes for this Wonder Woman, don't you?
Well, I'm excited about it. Yeah. But, you know, also hype.
Yeah, there's lots of hype.
There's pre-hype.
Yeah,
so
pre-hype.
Here's the thing. So you got that. Yeah. You're talking about these indie filmmakers that they get them in. Great.
And then what happens is if it doesn't make, then you go you're back in movie jail. You're not going to be able to make another movie.
Yeah.
Again.
You get to purgatory, movie purgatory.
That's right. They'll stay in there like the guy that did Paul Feig. He was the guy that did Birds. A bridesmaid, right?
Yeah.
And they finally gave him all these other things after Bridesmaid, and they had huge hope for Ghostbusters 4?
The Ghostbusters 3? Reboot.
Yeah, with the girls.
I knew that was a bad idea from day one.
But they say, we've got this script, you got to do it, and we're going to give you tons of money. Mm-hmm. You're not going to say no, because you're in movie jail.
So I'll tell you this about Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Rebooted.
Yeah,
I love the idea of female Ghostbusters.
Sure,
I had no problem with the idea of female Ghostbusters.
Did it work?
They had great actresses.
Yeah, sure. Is it funny?
But the part I had a problem with was that they restarted as if the original Ghostbusters never happened.
Oh.
And I'm not a big fan of that.
So it's not a reboot.
It should have been a sequel reboot.
Right, sequel.
It would have done so much better.
Right.
It would have been the hit that they were hoping it would have been in if they had acknowledged that the original Ghostbusters happened,
right,
and that this is a sequel.
They didn't do that.
And I know
so
Bill.
That's why it sucks.
For a long time, they tried to make the sequel with the original guys,
right?
And it always
they couldn't do that.
It always
so
always
they
alleged
retreaded the script.
Well, it was always alleged that Bill Murray was the one that held that up from happening.
Yeah, because he's a perfectionist, and that's his baby.
Well, this is what I said about the Bill Murray thing. Uh-huh. He was okay with doing Charlie's Angels,
sure,
but he didn't want to do a third Ghostbusters.
Right.
I mean, what's the difference?
It's because he was on some other kind of drug on that day.
It's not like he was too cool for school.
It's not that big.
Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels is a lot different from your home.
He's
baby.
Not too good for Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but it's home baby. With the Ghostbusters, it's like asking you to reboot the Caddyshack, which they're going to do.
Everybody was on board, but then when Harold Ramis passed away,
that changed everything.
It changed. It made it impossible.
Sure.
At that point, the courting of Bill Murray, the dragging it out for building up momentum and trying
and
to make it more exciting.
It's over. It's
Cause,
over.
Because that's what was happening is he was holding out to get more people like beg him.
Yeah.
To beg him.
Yeah.
To come back.
Sure.
And I love Bill Murray. I'm not saying he's genius.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of a buildup. He wanted the buildup for the comeback.
Yeah.
But then they waited too long, and then Harold Ramis passed away.
Right.
And then
they made the rock.
That's when they were like, okay, well, then we're going to have to do it with the... We're going to do something different.
We're going to do it totally different.
And they're going to do it with the girls.
I think job with getting the jokes and all the lineup and everything.
They had the guys there. They made cameos
as
different characters.
Yeah.
But it's not like they weren't available to make appearances. So why don't you script that movie to where they're semi-retired, but they come in, they teach and train them, and get them groomed to take over.
And I'll tell you
That's
why. That, and I'll tell you why that doesn't work. is because they're coming in with way too much baggage. Once you see Bill Murray up on the screen, oh, that's great. Is he going to cut a good joke? No. It fails. And in a movie, that once that happens, you're kind of, oh, gosh, he's just not making it. I saw him that, oh, no. See, and you're sitting in the movie house with all that other movie paraphernalia around him and this baggage, and you're not concentrating on the movie. That's why they bring in all these new characters and these new stars, so you don't concentrate on the movie as, oh, Bill Murray's going to come on as a cameo, and there's Harold Ramis on the screen over there. There's a little cameo of him. They'll make a ghost of him, you know? That's what they should have done.
They could have done it. They could have done
that. They should have made ghosts.
They could have made ghosts. They could have said, they could have acknowledged
Dan Aykroyd on there.
They could have acknowledged the fact that Harold Ramis had passed away. His character had passed away. And they could have had him come back and make a ghost cameo.
But yeah.
It would have been brilliant.
Hell yeah.
And a perfect tribute to him.
And Dan Aykroyd and all the other crew. Yeah. But the problem is, you don't want that to be to sell.
So you think it would have been too much baggage. It would have had to
way too much
to overcome. Well, I don't agree.
And that's what's happening on a whole as the film business is taking away from this generation. The new generation, the millennials, do not have the new Bill Murrays. You don't have any. You got Zac Efron and Dwayne Johnson. These are the funny guys.
Okay, so there's something to be said there that
you don't have no stars.
The comedy,
they can't sustain a life.
The comedy is less, let's say, witty,
yeah,
and it's more shock.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's more gross. It's more shock. Now there are still some very funny people.
Sure,
I just saw Snatched.
Yeah.
With Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, how is it?
And I thought it was hilarious. It was one of the funniest movies we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I've seen Ben Stiller turn out some funny stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
One of the funniest movies ever.
Yeah, he's great. He's still a great writer. He's still a great producer.
I even like
He even has a certain amount of baggage because Zoolander.
He has a bomb here and there, too.
Zoolander, too. Man, come on.
Well, it had its...
That thing.
It had funny moments.
It's filled with baggage.
It's funny. It had some funny moments. But then it also dropped on some stuff too.
Oh yeah.
And that it didn't do very well with reviews. And
Will Ferrell. I mean, you know, these guys are going down, and you don't have any new blood. You need new blood, and they need to be in independent films to rise up again. That's why Hollywood is having this big burp. And I think it's just a passing phase. Maybe this summer is going to be. There's such a glut of imagery. There's such a glut of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Transformers 6?
It's
going to
be wall to wall.
Transformer is, that's the big movie this week for 4th of July weekend, mm-hmm. Okay? Everybody's counting on that as the kid movie. But it'll be Despicable, maybe. It'll be these other movies. Cars. I mean, Cars 4? It's crazy. Kids go see animation movies. That's what they're watching.
Oh, those movies, Frozen,
yeah.
Those movies sell like hotcakes.
And they got merchandise behind them, and that's what you've got to really, you know.
Well, why do those movies do so well in the theater? They always
You can't recognize the baggage of those characters, of those actors.
But I'm saying, why are they still, those movies still do really well, the animated movies.
Their audience so clearly, and they have so many screenings of it, and they test and retest these movies. It's not like they put out a movie and they're watching clearly how the audience reacts. And it's kids. They're the most innocent. They will buy anything. Their parents will buy them anything.
Okay, let's look at some of the June movies that we
got. Okay, here we go.
So there's the Tupac Shakur biopic that's All Eyes on Me.
And I tell you, they're going to be looking real close at that guy's acting, and it better be rock solid. Looks good, uh-huh. and he's got to have the right lines. And you know, it's very hard to sell.
Or they're going to rip him apart.
They're going to rip him apart.
Well, and that movie doesn't happen if it wasn't for the...
But it's a tragedy, too, and people do not like to go see tragedies.
And that film, it's on it goes straight to VH1 if it wasn't for the NWA movie.
That's correct.
The NWA movie came out. It was a huge hit.
Yeah. And so comps.
Monkey See, Monkey Do in Hollywood.
That's right.
They make a movie, it's a hit.
And South
They
Compton.
Make a TV show, and it's a hit. Mm-hmm. Then three other things like it come right out.
Sure,
so
exactly.
That's basically what happens.
It's a product on the shelf.
And I loved the NWA movie, Straight Outta Compton. Very entertaining.
I know.
I'm from that generation of music. I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Lost in Paris, Maudie, Once Upon a Time in Venice. These are some limited release movies. These aren't the big movies.
They're so kind of independent movies.
You mentioned Cars 3. There's the sequel, another animated movie. Yeah. Guaranteed, knock it out of the park hit.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Pixar's Cars.
Because kids have to go see movies in the summer, and that's the perfect time.
Woo, 47 Meters Down. Do you know what that one is?
No.
That's the shark movie. The new kind of Jaws kind of...
Sharknado?
It's like a shark. No, it's a little more straight, playing it straight.
Oh, okay.
But sharks are back.
Jaws?
Sharks are back in Hollywood.
Another Jaws.
It's like a Jaws.
Okay.
It's an updated version.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. There's June 20th. There's Baby Driver. I don't know.
That's huge. They've been saying a lot about that. It's a robbery movie or something?
Amityville, The Awakening.
There you go. A horror film. And you're building your audience off of Amityville. And everybody since day one, Spielberg made Amityville.
Here goes Despicable Me, another one of those animated flicks.
That'll win the weekend.
Yeah.
Because kids are going to take that.
Oh, it'll win them. It'll win the end of, it'll win probably the month.
Sure.
It'll win the month. It's coming out the end of June.
Oh,
it'll
God,
be
yeah.
out for July. I mean, the only other film that's going to, the two other movies that are going to come out beyond after that in July will be Spider-Man Homecoming. Which is another.
I don't want to see that rehashing of Spider-Man. I've already got Tobey Maguire in my mind.
Okay.
I'm seeing
this
that.
This is why, and they do a new Spider-Man movie with a different actor
at least
every 6 months.
That seems like it's crazy.
In fact, I'm auditioning. I might get the job to be the next Spider-Man.
Yeah, you can do it.
Because they're just getting lower and lower budget on their casting.
That's right.
Okay, so
if you can get in the suit, let's go ahead and shoot you.
Hey, I've worn a suit before.
That's right.
I can fit in the suit. I've done it.
You can barely fit in that new suit.
I'm going to be fucked up Spider-Man. That's going to be mine's going to be called.
Right.
Mine's going to be called fucked up Spider-Man.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah. He's the older Spider-Man.
You're going to have to paint some blue spots on that.
He's the older beer-bellied Spider-Man.
Beer-bellied Spider-Man.
With a hot dog mustard on his lip.
Let's do it.
That's the whole movie.
That's the pitch.
And everybody keeps
now
telling
that's going to be that
Spidey. You got mustard on your lip.
Spidey, man.
We just ate hot dogs before the podcast. That's why I'm talking about
it's
mustard.
It's great. It's great.
No, this one, though, I'm actually curious to see.
I will not go see it.
No, they got me on this one. They
why?
Got me again.
Why?
Because the actor who's playing it.
Yeah.
He's very good. I saw him. He was already appeared in the Avengers as Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
He was very good. But here's the thing. They're going to have Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man in it. So it's crossing over with the Avengers. But here's the big one. What? They said they're making this movie like a 80s Brat Pack movie.
Okay.
Very inspired by 80s Brat Pack movies.
Okay.
Like the Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
Where it's going to have a lot of the first half of the movie.
And it have 80s music?
The first half of the movie is going to feel like an 80s Brat Pack movie.
Okay.
The second half of the second act, the second part of the movie, is going to be an action.
Boy, that trailer better be hot. Okay. Have you seen the trailer to it yet?
I'll give you another reason. Michael Keaton.
Oh, I see. Okay.
As the supervillain.
Okay. Yeah, that could sell.
Great casting.
Yeah, but
great actor and
you're
great
messing
casting.
With the three best Spider-Men ever. You know, those first set.
Well,
was
I
my
still
favorite.
Think the television version on CBS in the 1970s beat it all. I've been trying to get that on DVD for a while.
Animation. Oh, I can find that.
The short-lived live-action TV series.
Oh. I'll look for that at Goodwill.
Yeah, when you find it,
VHS?
I'm borrowing it when you find it.
No, you're going to buy it.
But this one other reason why I will buy this film, Marisa Tomei playing his aunt.
Oh,
and I like the Marisa Tomei.
Sure, she's great. Okay, next.
That Wrestler? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You've seen her in Wrestler, haven't you?
No, I haven't seen that.
You have not seen Wrestler?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
You got to see
Cousin
Wrestler.
Cousin Vinny,
one of the best.
That's it.
Well, she's in that, and she's great.
She is. Okay. She won an award for it.
The next movie that month that will give Despicable Me a run for its despicable money.
Yeah, despicable money.
Is
that's what it is.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
I will no go see, and I've seen enough.
You've seen enough ape wars and apes.
I'm making a movie called Shrimp Monkeys, man. It's better.
We're going to talk about fish in a little bit. I've got a question for you about fish on Agree or Disagree.
You're fishing for wishing.
There's a movie that's going to come out. Okay, this is funny.
So is that the big weekend, the monkey? The monkey movie in Despicable?
July.
Okay. So July 4th weekend. Tell me about July 4th
weekend. Wait for this. Wait for it. End of July, there's two movies, very interesting titles.
Yeah.
The Emoji Movie.
I'm not going to see that.
The Emoji Movie.
I knew they were going to make that.
Yeah, and
they're making the podcast movie.
They're
going to make a podcast movie.
They're doing the TV show.
I know
they're doing a podcast TV
but
show.
No.
But listen, here they
you
got.
You skipped over a lot of stuff here.
I'm going
man.
To the good stuff.
The Mummy, man, with Tom Cruise.
Now,
shit.
Well, I got a question about the Mummy later, but I'm excited about the Mummy.
I'm going to see it.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Universal owns all the greats. Frankenstein, the Mummy, Invisible Man. Monsters. They're rebooting those.
And I didn't know you could own those entities. I thought those entities were
Universal owns them.
I thought they were universally free.
No.
Free media at this point.
No. They re-copyright and re-trademark all these.
How have they been able to go back and re-trademark stuff that's really old? Because there used to be a rule after something got to
after 72 years?
Like the Betty Boop rule.
No.
Like when Betty Boop turned over a certain age, you couldn't copyright it anymore.
You can re-copyright it. If your production company owns the rights at that point of contention.
But did they change the rules at some point?
You can re-copyright it.
But they used to be, if something got past an expiration date of a certain amount of years, it became free.
It's called the Walt Disney rule.
Free for anybody.
No.
Walt Disney.
Walt Disney fucked that up. No. Walt Disney changed the rule by going to the courts and saying, "No, we still own Steamboat Willie, and we want to continue to own Steamboat Willie, and we're going to recopyright it."
So they changed the rule.
Disney changed the rule years ago. Years ago. In 1976, this happened.
There was a website that used to show you what was free.
Yeah,
like what you could.
It's public domain.
Public domain.
Yeah. And no longer true.
I used to go on there and look it up.
Not with stuff that studios own and want to retread.
Yeah. So I went and looked it up, and you know me. I've had things stolen from me, but I also like to steal things.
Plagiarism. It's called plagiarism.
Yeah. No, but I went on and I wanted to see what was free.
Yeah.
Available.
Right.
And
it's being cut back.
And Betty Boop was on there.
Sure.
So that explained to me why I saw so much Betty Boop merchandise.
Right.
Everywhere.
Nobody wanted to you could copy it and recopy it and start it anew.
So
it's very gray area.
Nobody bothered with Betty Boop protecting it.
Right.
Which makes me think that probably the original studio that owned Betty Boop had gone out of business
and didn't care. And didn't care.
Yeah. So that's probably what happened.
But not with those five great Universal properties, as in Invisible Man, Frankenstein, Mummy, and Werewolf.
They don't have Dracula.
They have Dracula.
They have Dracula,
they
too?
They own that, too. So all that is owned.
At
Universal Studios.
Huge properties.
Huge. And they're not giving it up.
And I think those are bigger than the superheroes. Because those are superheroes...
For the old geezer audience, it is huge.
Well, they're going to reinvigorate it with the
Another Frankenstein... I'm not talking about the Robert De Niro version... But if they bring out another Frankenstein, I will go see it if it's well made.
If it looks good and the reviews are good.
And it's got to be as good as the Boris Karloff version. I'm telling you, you really have to, if you're going to bring all these effects and all this stuff, you really have to have it well written.
So that's the one that's going to get you back in the theater.
To see that.
Is the monsters.
Well, I want to see The Mummy.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I know that Tom Cruise, he really doesn't make bad.
He doesn't do stink.
He really works hard.
Yeah.
Because he knows his audience.
He may be a Scientologist.
Yeah. Who cares?
But hey, when he makes a movie, he's serious business.
Have you seen the trailer to it? It's kick-ass.
It's kick-ass.
It is definitely going to go.
You know, he announced officially this week Top Gun 2 is going to happen.
Really?
They're going to do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen in Top Gun 2?
I don't know.
It's going to be the drones.
Oh, man.
And the old geezer pilots
are
being pushed out for the drones.
That's a great idea.
And it's him and his old guys trying to say, hey, we got one last good go on us.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to show you in your drones.
Mavericks in the sky.
And they're going to have the battle. It's the old Top Guns versus the drones.
I can't believe it.
And that's the premise.
Man.
It's the old versus the new.
Yeah. I feel real old now.
But that's going to be cool, isn't it? That sounds like a cool premise. That's the
script.
And
then they got the soundtrack and all that stuff.
Will you go see it?
I will see it.
That one I want to see on the big, big screen.
Oh, you got to.
Because you want to see the planes flying around.
Yeah. And drones.
And those big screens.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
And the loud, loud thunder of the
plane. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And that's why the independent movie doesn't bring in all that stuff, because it doesn't have
see an independent on a small screen. I can see it on a big screen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because you don't have the big stars. You got to feel like you've paid money.
In fact, I'll tell you this with independent film.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are things that happen in the movie that are so quiet and so subtle
that
I want to be able to go back and rewind and watch a fight, like something I missed 5 seconds ago.
Right. And when you're streaming it and watching it on a DVD, you can.
Where in a big blockbuster movie,
they make
everything so in your face and blatant.
Right.
And you can miss 5 seconds and still get the rest of the movie.
Right. Because
independent, if I miss, I might miss an important part
that's
and the next three scenes make no sense to me.
Yeah.
Because it's more story driven.
That's right. and the other is effects driven. And that's one of the biggest problems with stars. Stars can't keep up with the effects. They get on a set and all I'm doing is playing to a green screen. And it's and can you imagine the actors that are going to be in this Planet of the Apes thing? They're saying, oh man, I was in a suit all day just crumbling along. I don't have my face on screen. So it could have been any monkey. It doesn't make me a star anymore. So why be in that movie other than for the money, the paycheck?
You mean if they hire a big actor to play someone in
right.
in a costume
right.
where we don't even recognize them?
Right.
Yeah, why do they do that? I've always right. wondered, why would you hire a big-name actor
so you can
be,
put it on the marquee?
When we could have done that, and we would have done it uh-huh. for a lot less money.
Oh, definitely.
Cheap.
Yes.
I'd be an ape in Planet of the Apes.
Right.
For
and you could shoot it on
pennies
your
on the pennies on the dollar.
And you could shoot it on your
How
iPhone.
Much could they get you to be an ape in a Planet of the Apes movie?
If it's going to worldwide.
For scale. Scale.
For worldwide.
You do it for scale.
Yeah, I want $400 a day.
Yeah, but that's cheap compared to what they're paying.
Oh, yeah.
Super big star.
They're paying $30,000 a day.
Yeah, you get your $400 a day.
Yeah.
And your meal.
Yeah.
And your hotel.
Yeah.
But you'll stay in a Best Western if they
yeah, Best Western.
As long as there's no bed bugs.
No bed bugs.
Yeah.
I can't have a bed bug.
No bed bugs.
No.
Can't be itching the next day when
if
you're trying to get in your ape suit.
That's right. It's a digital
well,
thing.
Actually, that would add
it's
to
It's a digital suit.
Actually, that would add to your character. If you itched
sure.
a lot, it would be more like an
yeah.
ape.
Yeah. Gibby coming down.
Gibby the ape.
Gibby
no,
the ape.
But here's the thing.
Gibby
so
Gibson.
The ape. Yeah, it's CGI, so you don't even have to put on a
you're
costume.
You're not on a suit.
Which is the hardest part. That used to be the hardest part about those jobs.
Yeah, you know, I'm suit now.
Is when Michael Keaton.
Now you got a blue suit that you're wearing, and it's all got these dots all over.
When Keaton played Batman, that was the thing that he hated that probably the most about being
right.
Batman.
He was sweating.
Was putting
in
on
that.
The suit.
He was sweating.
But now they could CGI the suit on.
And that's changing the world of the movies again.
Okay, this one's going to be good. It's John Boyega in a movie called Detroit, where he plays a policeman in gritty Detroit.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, that's it. So there's. August is now. By the time
it's dog days.
By the time you get to August, it's like you've always said.
It's Labor Day.
It's dog days.
It's dog days.
These are where you put the leftovers. Yeah. Goodness, they're going to put out Terminator. They're going to re-release Terminator 2 in August on 3D.
3D
on 3D. Terminator 2.
Has it got Schwarzenegger?
Well, it's just a re-release. It's not,
oh, it's a re-release.
The re-release of the original Terminator 2.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Terminator
so
2.
Now they even go into September, and then that's when you get into like the more...
Well, everybody's going back to school, so they're not watching movies.
Yeah, they're
going
to go back into the more like
traditional.
Art cinema.
Yeah. These are the ones that are going to be bucking for the Oscar. Now, in October and November, those are Oscar ones.
Now, the next big blockbuster mega hit... Well, there's going to be a Lego movie in September, which is Back to the Kids.
Yeah.
Those movies will do well any time of the year.
Yeah, they don't have to.
Yeah. And then also, of course, Blade Runner 2049 is going to be the next big one in August. In October, sorry.
October. Okay.
October, yeah. The big remake.
Well, Ridley Scott
or
did
sequel,
that.
Sequel movie.
Well, I mean, you know, Ridley Scott came out with The Covenant, and there was a lot of high hopes for that.
And Gather Around, Bronies, October 6th, going up against Blade Runner is My Little Pony the Movie.
My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
You know about bronies, right?
No, I don't know. We talked about them
on the show recently.
Yeah, we talked about bronies.
Bronies. Bronies are grown men or grown people, human beings.
Humans.
Human beings that are fanatics about My Little Pony.
That's insane.
And they go to conventions, they dress up in costumes.
That's a sick thing.
They sing songs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what... it gets a squirt
the,
of it.
The brony.
Okay. So we went...
Brony after brony.
I know we talked about the lounge chairs.
Yeah.
I got one more question about lounge chairs.
Yeah.
Do you worry about going? Have you? You've gone to the theater and you've sat in lounge chair?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Okay. Did you like it?
I loved it, but there's one big fault about that.
Yeah.
At the line outside, which there's only three people, then they asked me what you would like to have a reserved seat. I said, no, I want to go in and pick my own seat. And there's hundreds to pick up, but they're all. Huge lounge chairs. I don't want to reserve. I want to pay my $5, go in and sit
and then,
anywhere.
Then pick where you want to sit.
Right.
You want to be able to get there early, and the benefactor of being the early bird gets the worm.
That's right.
And not like who...
So the fault is that they're killing themselves by not letting me pick my own seat.
So think that turns people away too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the lounge seats... Do you worry that the seats will get too comfortable? It'll make people I worry about falling asleep now.
Oh yeah,
if I haven't,
you will fall asleep
because you get in a cold theater.
Uh huh.
It's kind of chilly.
Uh huh.
Something about that,
and then you got the big beer, and you got your popcorn or your a piece of pizza, you're going to fall asleep right in the middle of the movie.
And if the movie is already slow at some point, you're going to fall asleep. Like you would at home on the couch.
Or you got to go up and get pee.
You've nailed it. If you have to go pee, that's the next thing to make the experience, like to up trump the going and watching it.
To beat
watching it at home. What could they do to beat watching it at home?
It's a make toilet it right there.
A toilet on your lounge seat.
There's a urinal.
So you could just sit there and you could spring a leak and not have to get up from your seat.
Right. Here's the thing about the big lounge chair. When you push these buttons to get into this position, it's like an astronaut. You are an astronaut.
Yeah.
And you've got it all in position, and you're ready to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, wow. Halfway in through the trailers, you got to pee. So you push the button to get out of the thing. You got to eject yourself out of this thing. And then you go pee, and then you come right back, and you got to set this whole thing again. So the seat is not really added to the geezers.
To the older crowd.
Yeah, because they got to pee.
Okay, so either they have
to... So we need the app for when is the best time to pee in this movie.
Well, there's an app for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But then the other option is we said they can install toilets in the lounge seat.
Sure.
And then when you
but hit they won't do that because it's very dirty.
You add more technology. When you hit a button, wall comes up around you.
Yeah.
So nobody sees you. You're private.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, there's a silent flusher, so it doesn't disturb everybody in the theater.
Dubious.
You hit the silent flusher.
Flusher.
Then the wall comes back down. Now, you also...
Why don't I just stay home?
You also will have a gush of water to clean your ass.
I got to wash my hands, too.
A little gush of water to clean your butt while you're sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
Like they do in those... They have these in toilets now.
Yeah, Dubious.
They clean your butt.
I know, it's terrible.
Self-clean. Okay, so then you have a little
ream your ass.
A little sink on the side arm.
Yeah, and you wash.
Wash your hands.
Like a dental.
Sanitizer.
Like a dental.
And then the wall comes back down.
Yeah, just like the Delta flight.
The only glitch in this idea, though, is that will the wall get in front of the person sitting behind you when they won't see the screen? It'll be blocking their view.
I think that those seats are just wonderful. But you, like you say, you're going to fall asleep. And you're going to get
You're going to miss your $20 movie.
It's ridiculously priced. So if you don't go back in price.
So you think
for
the
person that wants to see three movies a week, I want to pay only $5 a shot.
Okay, if we've figured out the problem, one of the half of the problem is the price has gone too expensive. They need lower ticket prices.
Well, I want to see Mummy. I want to see a Despicable. And I want to see... It's just ridiculous.
How do we get the ticket prices down where the studio is still making their bottom line? The theater doesn't get any of the ticket sales.
That's correct.
We've known that for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
For those of you that might not know, movie theaters,
they get the popcorn
their money is from the food sales.
You got to buy the popcorn.
All the ticket price money goes to the studios.
That's correct.
And paying for their whatever they've got.
That's
their
correct.
Cost, their cost is.
And all the kickbacks.
Their kickbacks. Exactly. So the one way, theaters, some of them already run commercials. Terrible that you have to sit. They're making you sit and watch commercials at some of the theaters. They don't do it to you at the Alamo, but they do it at some of the other big chains.
And here's the thing about the reserved seats. If I know that I have a reserved seat on my app, I can walk in right after those commercials and still have my seat. That's another thing that's going to kill them all.
Well, that's a good part of the reserved seating.
That's a good thing about the reserved
seating. You could sit in the lobby and just ignore the commercials.
I'll miss all those ads.
Okay, I'll get
my popcorn.
Here's another option. Maybe the theaters sell more merch.
Yeah.
What if they merched more, like they do at the Alamo, like a t-shirt shop?
They should have a t-shirt shop.
Maybe they sell advertisement that's not on the screen, but goes on your popcorn box.
Right.
An ad for AT&T
phones.
Or
make it cheaper for me to go see multiple movies.
Well, maybe that. Maybe a bundle package.
I get a bundle package. I want to see the summer blockbusters, all I want to see.
Could they give you two movies...
For the price of six.
Buy one ticket for one movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give me two other movies
at
a reduced price, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Or free.
Yeah, or free.
That'll get
me
in.
Three for the price of one.
That'll get me in to buy that big book. Just like the Paramount has their classic sets.
Oh, here. I got it. The weekdays. And you're like me. You go to your movies on the weekdays.
On the weekdays.
Weekdays, after the big weekend.
And it's empty.
Yeah. Which is a problem because if those seats were not empty, they'd be making more money, and we wouldn't be talking about this right
now. That's correct.
Yeah. So
there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday should be extremely cheap.
They should have a way that if you buy the tickets for a movie on those days, they give you three more movies, or two more movies, three for the price of one, as long as you go see them during those days.
And most people not even do that.
Why not do it when those seats are empty anyway?
That's a problem.
Why not do that?
Because they're too greedy.
Now,
I don't know.
Would you not go to the movie more?
I will.
If they gave you three movies for one, and you go use those two other movies when you want to redeem them.
Right.
As long as they're used during the slow times.
Sure, and there's always slow times.
Because those butts are empty. The seats in the seats have no butts.
The seats have no butts. But.
And there were many lonely nights when I was single, and I had no butt.
There's no butt.
No butts. I think there could be some solutions there. I think we might have solved the problem right
here.
Well,
we might have.
What's going to get a sequel next? What's going to get a prequel next? And what's going to get a reboot next? Sequel, prequel, reboot.
And you're making crappy middle-aged movies.
How many times do businesses go out of business because people didn't figure this stuff out?
Well, they figured it out that it's easier for me to stay at home with my kids watching big screen TV, and I'm getting better quality movies
on my streaming. But we've already solved the problem. If you have empty seats during the week anyway.
Right, I agree.
And they have a chance to get you in on three for one.
Three for one. I'm there.
You would do that every damn month.
Right.
Easy.
Especially summer, because that's when I want to go see movies and go swimming and have vacation.
So you're saying you want a swimming pool in the movie theater also.
Wow.
Well, I thought of this the other day. Fitbit has become such a big deal.
Yeah.
Like people with Fitbits that want to get steps.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I got one on now.
Okay.
People that want to get their steps.
Sure.
What if you had a theater that had other things to do in the lobby while you're waiting for the movie to start? Now, this is already going on in some places.
Sure.
Like the brand new Alamo Drafthouse opened a family-friendly theater in Mueller.
Where you got a track to run on and go swimming?
Well, this theater, supposedly they have a kids' screening room.
Oh, wow.
Where for families to go with their kids to the movie.
Despicable.
They put a dance floor in.
Oh, really?
So at the front of the theater, they have their seats like they always do, but then at the very front, there's a little dance floor.
Wow.
So if you're going there to see a sing-along
or
to see a movie like Frozen that's got songs in it, where you do song and dance, you could get up and you can dance. To the movie in the front and get back in your seat, and it's welcomed at this particular theater.
I think they could have a swimming pool out at the lake with the screen.
But here's the thing. The lobby could be the other answer. They did the arcades back in the 80s.
Yeah, they did.
But that's...
Took money away from the movie, though. They wanted to get you in to see the movie.
Well, you can't go to the arcade unless you went into bought a ticket.
It's like a drive-in.
But here's the thing. I think more entertainment in the lobby while you wait for the movie could be the draw. Like a miniature golf course in the lobby instead of just seats in a row.
Well, they have kind of, theme park deal.
You could have but here's the thing. People love Fitbits. What if you put an indoor track that surrounded the perimeter of the theater?
And you watch the movie.
And while you're waiting, if you got there early,
you
could go get some steps by walking around the indoor track.
Well, the problem is once you sit down, you're a big sweaty animal in your
It's air conditioned. It's all indoors. It's air conditioned. It's an indoor track, air conditioned.
Indoor track, and you're going to sit down and watch this movie? Or are you going to run?
I'm not
going to
get
huff and puff and watch the movie. I'm watching the movie. Be quiet.
I'm not going to get sweaty because I'm in an indoor.
Right, are you watching when are you watching the movie? When are you sitting?
After I go and get my steps.
Yeah,
in the indoor
track. Your shower.
So we're talking about all the gimmicks that they're doing in theaters.
I gotta take a shower before I see the movie.
Okay, well,
because I'm on a date here.
Okay, well then put a shower in the theater.
Can you believe people running on bikes and getting on a bike and then taking a shower? Oh, I got to see a movie now.
So do you not like my idea?
I think it's a funny idea.
Okay.
It's hilarious. I
want to
run a track and jump in a pool and then go see a movie.
Put a shower in. Put a shower in too.
With Jaws.
Now that's the idea is make the theme so like the track, if you can tie it into a favorite movie.
Oh, yeah, that would be
the track.
Great. Oh, I'd love that. Okay. It's like a theme park. Have you been to theme parks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tie it into a movie.
Maybe
you're walking to get away from the Jurassic Park dinosaurs.
Yeah. Okay. And you're seeing the different dinosaurs in a big theme park.
And like a big, so there's screens on the side.
Yeah.
And they rah,
yeah,
and then you walk faster to get away from T-Rex.
And I think they ought to have a Texas Chainsaw Massacre version,
Is the
saw.
The shower can be the Jaws shower.
No, it'll be a Psycho shower.
Oh, then that's the shower. They got
shower
the music.
Scene. They got the shower scene
Norman
right there.
Bates
yeah.
is ching, standing
ching,
on the other
ching,
side.
Ching, ching, ching.
I love it. So themed showers.
Yep.
And then the pool, the swimming pool would be the Jaws pool.
Oh, yeah. Lake.
With the sharks.
Yeah, with the sharks.
Yeah. Were you trying to get away
or
from
James
the sharks
Bond.
While you're in?
James Bond. There's a good scene.
So we'd have to call these like movie theater and activity centers.
And they're theme parks kind of thing.
It'd be like
little
a
mini theme parks with golf courses and dinosaurs.
And this would go...
Because kids love dinosaurs.
And these would go over anywhere in the country, but it would be a lot more cleaning and maintenance for the cleaning guy.
It'll be a lot of work. Because popcorn gets down in those holes.
And the water bill. And the water bill with the shower.
The water bill. You're going to go swimming and watching a movie, man. Have you seen Jaws at Deep Eddy, man?
Man, we got to dial this back a little bit.
Yeah.
This brainstorming.
It's just way too much.
All right. So, you know, some of the ideas.
Because your ideas are really Mickey Mouse.
another one of Kirk's toys. Oh, this is what I like. It's a top hat where Mickey Mouse pops out. So, okay, here's the question I have for you then. Okay, well, not a question, but here's the thing. So theaters are already implementing some new gimmicks.
Yeah.
They're doing IMAX at more theaters.
Sure.
We talked about the lounge
IMAX
chairs.
And big seats.
So these new D-Box seats at the theater.
Sure, they're great.
I went and tried one out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, here you go. I went to the theater and kind of talked about it afterwards, after I was done with it. Kind of tell you what my experience was. And a D-Box seat is a seat that is enabled to move according to what's happening on the screen. So I was really curious about this. So I wanted to go try it out. So here's a little clip. All right, Stephen Presley here from the Thunderpop Podcast. We are going in, my friend's going with me to the screening of Wonder Woman 3D, and I'm going to see my first movie on D-Box. And my friend's going to sit either behind me or next to me, and so he'll be able to see whether I can stomach this and weather the storm. But yeah, here we go. I'm right now. I'm a little bit nervous and excited all at the same time because I've got a pretty weak stomach. Like, I can't even ride on, like, a kiddie ride. So this is going to be interesting. And I would think there's going to be some effects with the seat. Like, there. And this is Wonder Woman, so I'm wondering every time the truth lasso gets lassoed, am I going to get lassoed in the seat and then have to tell the truth? So we'll see. That I didn't pay for the movie. No, just kidding. I paid for the movie. Okay. All right, here goes. I will give a report afterwards of my experience in the D-Box seat. We're at the Galaxy Theater in Austin, Texas. Okay, so my review for the D-Box. It was interesting. I'm gonna give it a mixed review. It was fun. It was different. I don't think I'd want to watch a movie, a film, on a D-Box chair on a regular basis. But every now and again, kind of the same way I feel about 3D. I'm kind of cool with 3D every so often, but most of the time I just want to watch movies in 2D. I love the IMAX screen. Now, the IMAX screen is different. The IMAX, I want to watch films on IMAX like all the time, especially big blockbuster movies, the Star Wars films. I want to see that on IMAX screen, but I don't necessarily need to see it in 3D. 2D with IMAX is the perfect blend for me with the reclining chairs. Comfort, huge screen. We want huge screens, but I don't necessarily need 3D. Same way I feel about D-Box. I would much rather sit in one of those lounge chairs and just recline back. But it was kind of cool. I mean, it was fun. There was a few surprises throughout the viewing of Wonder Woman. There were a few surprises, some things I didn't expect. I didn't expect the seat to move like with the camera, with the shot. So it was kind of cool. It was kind of like being the director in the chair and kind of following the shot as your chair moved, the camera moved. That was cool. I would have liked to see maybe some smell vision. Like if someone farted, I wouldn't have minded if there was like a fart smell. Like if a Wonder Woman had farted, I wouldn't have minded a fart smell come out of the chair. That would have been kind of cool. Basically though, overall, I'm going to say that there were times when I didn't like the chair, and this is when I didn't like it. When it felt sort of a little thump, the chair kind of moved a little bit. It was almost like paying like $20 just to get your back of your chair kicked. When you used to go to the theater and you would get the back of your chair kicked, you would hate it, and you would try to move away from the person that kept kicking the back of your chair. You wouldn't pay an extra $20 so you could sit in that chair. So that's kind of the worst case scenario about the D-Box, is that it just feels like someone's kicking the back of your chair sometimes. But other times, it's like a fun amusement park ride. So on a scale of 1 Thunderbolt to 10 Thunderbolts, in the Thunderpop Dome,
I'm going to give the D-Box chair experience based on my one time doing it. And I understand some things sometimes get better as you've done it more and more. So maybe if I did it a couple more times, I might like it more or I might like it less. But on a scale of 1 Thunderbolt to 10 Thunderbolts, I'm going to give my D-Box chair experience watching Wonder Woman a 6 Thunderbolt. Not bad. Not bad. All right. There you go.
So we're talking about where we're losing ticket sales, what your 60-inch movie screen at
that
home.
That is home theaters and rich people are home theaters and rich people with big, huge screens. You're losing money from them. And they have the kids. They will take their kids on a special night to see Despicable and Cars 3. They're definitely going to go see those movies. Mm-hmm. But you can't sustain that as a movie studio. So you've got to come and crank out a lot more stuff. And I'm just saying that you're not training this next generation of making independent short films, I mean, independent low-budget movies on the range that can be bumped into and bumped up to the grade-A stuff that they're putting out there in Hollywood now.
Well, I know
so that's where you're seeing the mismatch of Netflix and video on demand that's changing the dynamic of the movie business.
Well, I know a guy who has not paid for a movie ticket in decades. And
because he's a Netflixer.
No. He's a sneak into the movie theater.
Oh, you can't do that.
Did you ever sneak into a movie?
Oh, yeah, several times. And at Paramount, I went to see...
As a kid.
As a kid, yeah.
Not as a grown man.
No.
Yeah, but you did do it.
No, yeah, I went to see some movies down at the Paramount, and I went to see out there at the... Oh, we used to sneak into the drive-in a lot. You know, put a bunch of people in the trunk of the car and the station wagon, and we used to take 10 people in the back of the station wagon and drive in. As well as sneaking in this, the back way of General Cinema out there at Highland Mall. We sneak in to see Alien, stuff like that.
So a lot of movies you've snuck into.
Oh, sure.
I used to do the thing where I'd buy one ticket.
This was before college.
I used to do a thing where I'd buy one ticket, but then I'd go and then stay all day and just move from theater to theater and see multiple movies after I bought the one ticket.
They didn't have any ushers then.
Yeah, no. It was very funny. And actually, I used to sneak in my own food, and I still do that occasionally.
Sure.
Sneak in my own food to the theater. Yeah. And I would sometimes I'd get real ambitious. I'd do the all day where I'd go from theater to theater to theater and see much movies. But I'd bring a pizza in my bag.
Yeah, you got a bag.
A full pizza. But now... They
can't bring that pizza
because
in.
Of all the issues that have happened with violence and
oh yeah 9/11 you they, can't they do would, nothing you
well
can't
after 9/11
yeah
first after 9/11 they started doing bag searches
yeah
then that went away from that
yeah
and then they had the
when
theater,
did that end?
Then they had the movie theater shooting
oh horrors yeah
and then they went back to bag checking
sure
so I have a fanny pack a little hit bag
yeah
and I can fit smaller things in the hit bag
but not no pizza
no let one slice yeah. maybe.
A pizza roll.
Yeah, I can do a pizza
oh
roll.
Oh, my God. That's going to be junky.
For the laughing hyena, we have... Do you ever get people say you look like Dick Van Dyke? I don't think I've ever told you.
Bob Dobbs. Yeah, Bob Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs, I don't know who Bob Dobbs is.
Are you going to be a part of that whole thing?
What's Bob Dobbs?
Oh, I'll send you the link.
Oh.
Yeah, they're making a doc on Bob Dobbs.
And you look like Bob Dobbs too?
No, Dick Van Dyke.
Did you ever get that?
No, I got more of the doc on the doc.
You know they're making a prequel, a fan film.
It's a fan film.
Fan film making a prequel, but the guy that played the original Doc is going to be in it playing his character.
Good.
And it's going to be about how he got the
I got auditions for that and so I got to play that.
It's going to be how they got the plutonium, how he got play the doc. Plutonium. To make the time machine.
Oh, that'd be good.
And he infiltrates a terrorist operation to get the plutonium
to
make his time machine. So that's the prequel. And he's going to play it in a fan film.
Fan film.
That's cool, isn't it?
Oh, I love that.
That's cool. I had thought of that
but
idea.
But Doc, as far as lookalikes and stuff like that, when I was a kid, I was more like Opie.
They probably got backers, though. He's not doing that for free.
No, he's
They got some backing.
Yeah,
on
they got Indiegogo.
Yeah, because he's a working actor. He's had much work over the years.
He's produced tons of stuff, too.
Has he?
He's a big
Christopher Lloyd's who we're talking about.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, he's a very big producer.
Did not know that.
Yes, he produced Max Headroom.
So he doesn't need money.
No,
he's not.
He's doing it because of.
He's not like Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
No,
he's not.
No, he's not. No, he's got a good deal.
You know Tattoo, how he lost his money.
Yeah, Virel.
Women.
Yeah.
Partying.
Yeah, he was a party animal.
But he was getting still...
Hervé Villechaize.
He was still getting $400 commission checks for Fantasy Island years after the show had
off. He got royalty checks.
But he was gold diggers all around him.
Gold diggers.
Just poaching.
Sure.
Poaching, taking.
Yeah. You got to get out of Hollywood after a point.
Agree or disagree.
Oh, here it is.
When we come back.
That's why you have that. Yeah.
All right.
I totally disagree.
Okay. Now,
I totally agree.
Can we borrow this at some point?
What do you want to borrow?
I'm going to use it for a deep throat.
I totally disagree.
I totally disagree. All right. So here it is. No. Yes. I'm taking it away. Okay. All right. So here it is. Agree or disagree for that bazooka. Okay, all party toys are being taken away from Kirk Hunter.
Horrors.
All right.
Here we go.
Here it is. Number one, talking about fish, and you're working on a fish movie.
Yeah. Shrimp Monkey's Revenge.
And this is going to be a horror kind of B-movie?
It's a horror B-movie. We're going to shoot it down at the coast. And you can play one of the shrimp
Galveston or the Corpus Christi?
Fulton.
Where's Fulton close
Fulton's
to?
Rockport.
Near Rock. Okay, I know Rockport.
Rockport. Palacios, Texas.
So you're going to go down there and you're going to film it down there?
Parts of it.
Underwater scenes?
There is an underwater scene.
You're going to do GoPro?
We're going to need a GoPro. You got a GoPro?
I have a GoPro.
Oh, then we're going to borrow it.
Well, I'll just go underwater and swim and film it.
You going to dress up in a shrimp monkey suit?
If you have one
Barton Springs?
That fits me, I'll do it.
No, you got to go down to Barton Springs.
You're going to film in Barton Springs
too?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, it sounds interesting. When do you want to film?
Oh, this summer sometime.
Oh.
When the water's warm.
Okay, yeah. What is it called again?
Shrimp Monkey's Revenge.
How long is the film?
It's going to be 77 minutes.
Is this your big comeback movie?
It is big.
Yeah. Kirk, of course, known for Barn of the Blood Llamas.
Right, Barn.
And then you've done...
And I keep selling copies of Barn. I just sold 3 copies the other day, VHS and DVD.
How would you describe it in a nutshell, Barn of the Blood Llamas, for people that might not know?
It's a cross between Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's also Llamas Attack the Barn and Blow It Up. Mm-hmm. It's a Corman film.
And I can go rip this off YouTube for free.
You cannot find it.
All right.
If you find it, you email me, and I will destroy the producer who's doing that.
Yeah, you got to police.
There's no torrent on it.
You got to police that shit.
You can't even torrent.
Yeah. I can buy a copy, though.
For me.
Official, signed?
Oh, yeah.
You sign it?
Gibby.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. Can I get extra cuts of scenes, director scenes? A director cut. I want a director cut.
You want the director cut?
I want the director cut.
On the DVD?
Yeah.
You got the director cut.
If I'm buying,
I'm not the director.
When I buy DVDs, I like to get the extra footage.
Yeah, you get all the kind of extras.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And VHS, too.
Oh, okay. Here it is. The Faceless Fish. Have you heard about this?
No.
A bizarre fish without a face has been discovered in Australia. Apparently, the fish was discovered after a massive trawling excursion into the depths of the abyss off the coast of Sydney. As we send satellites into space... This is the question I have for you. As we send satellites into space to find new galaxies, we have yet to adequately explore the depths of our own oceans. Here on our own planet Earth, who knows what can be lurking thousands of feet from sea level. As researchers go deeper and deeper, creatures get weirder.
Sure.
Okay. Actually, and we just went to Galveston, and we went on the aquarium tour.
Yeah. Did you see the aquarium?
And they show you the levels of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And areas that haven't even, that are pitch black.
The Mariana Trench.
You can't see when you get to a certain point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pitch black.
And they have little fish that have little lantern, a lantern fish.
Night vision. So there's some of the fish that have night vision.
And they have a little light bulb out further in front of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here it is.
Mariana's Trench.
In actuality, scientists think that they have rediscovered this fish.
Yeah.
Apparently, they think this fish was... Because this fish had been discovered over... They were known to be in existence over a century ago.
Yeah.
The original Challenger expedition in the 1800s found an identified a fish that resembles what scientists have found today, which they dubbed the Faceless Cusk. The fish was also discovered in parts of Arabian Sea. So what I'm asking you is... This fish, who we thought was in existence 100 years ago, and we didn't even know it was still around,
right?
Did this fish time travel in some kind of black hole vortex in the sea that we don't even know about yet? Was it a was there actually a time traveling fish?
No, it's just
agree or disagree.
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
Because it's just kept on procreating, and it's still living down there amongst its tribe.
How is it not seen for that many years, though?
Because we haven't been traveling down there very rarely. When Cameron went down into the trench and he was discovering a lot of the Titanic stuff and doing a lot of study, even scientists haven't been looking for this fish.
It's just so vast.
It is such a vast ocean.
Do you think there's some really crazy stuff down there?
We still haven't seen it all.
Is it going to blow us away, like blow our dicks off when we see some of this stuff later?
I don't know. If we keep continuing studying it, yeah.
You want to see a faceless fish?
Let me see it.
Okay.
Faceless fish. How does it breathe? Has it got any gill?
It must have gills. It's very gooey.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's got this
it's
here.
A big saliva.
I think it's breathing through this.
Those are the sensors. No, it's just strange. There's a lot of stuff that we haven't seen in the ocean.
Can we cut that open and make some sushi?
I wouldn't eat it.
It's
too deep.
It's too deep. It's too weird.
It's too weird.
Keep
it's a big saliva keep, snot.
Keep
waggy.
Keep ocean weird.
Yeah, keep ocean weird.
All right, number.
No, I don't worry about that.
All right, I got number two. Dark Universe, the lawsuit. We were talking about the monsters, the Mummy movie at Universal,
sure,
and how they had the rights to all the monsters.
Sure.
So Universal Pictures made a very loud announcement earlier this month,
yeah,
confirming that its monster franchise,
right,
based on all the classic ghouls,
yep,
they have now in their
werewolf, Dracula, mm-hmm, Mummy,
yeah,
Invisible Man.
So they're going to refer to it as the Dark Universe. That's what they want to call it.
Wonderful.
So Tom Cruise is set to, of course, launch it this month with the Mummy.
Right.
It kickstarts the whole endeavor next weekend.
Right.
So with the monster movie hitting theaters,
yeah,
and then the others that are falling, like The Bride of Frankenstein is going to be in 2019.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Johnny Depp is doing Invisible Man. That one's going to be really exciting.
He's great.
So here's the thing. There has been DC.
Yeah, DC Comics.
Says they had the title Dark Universe. They plan to use it,
right,
for their Justice League villain,
right,
series. And there, so now there's been talk maybe that DC might sue Universal.
They will.
For the name.
Right.
But here's the thing. Is that just a bunch of hubba bubba over nothing? Is that just to get some stir up some publicity? Even putting that out there, whoever,
yeah,
put that out there,
yep,
a publicist or whomever,
yeah,
has that just been a seed that's been planted just to drive publicity for one franchise or the other?
Yeah, it's hype.
Agree or disagree?
I agree, it's hype.
It's hype.
It's hype.
So is that lawsuit even going to happen?
It will happen.
But it's
because
hype.
It's good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any bad noise from one company,
yeah,
to another, it's like billionaires fighting.
Yeah.
Once you see that, you say, wow, I've got to see the movies now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you as a person, I got to see the mummies because he's got a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing what happened with Johnny Depp on the Pirates.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to see how he's doing because we got to support the movie
because
we love him. Same thing.
Yeah.
That's why I agree with that. Yeah. They will sue.
Number three, Cheers. So we were talking about reboots of TV shows.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So we've had coming up.
Yeah.
This fall, Will and Grace.
Sure.
Next year, Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had
Twin Peaks.
Gilmore Girls, Twin Peaks, X-Files.
Sure.
All reboots.
Right.
Before they had even considered doing a Will and Grace reboot and a Roseanne reboot, should they have done Cheers before either of those? And here's why I argue that. In the case of Roseanne, the last season of Roseanne, all hell broke loose. They killed off her husband.
Right.
They won a lottery. They became supposedly wealthy.
Yeah.
And it was criticized as being a jump the shark season.
It was a jump
It was a terrible jump the shark season for a wonderful sitcom.
Right.
Okay. That was beloved for many years.
Sure.
And then in the last season, they just threw caution to the wind.
It was a jump
for all kinds of gimmicks to get people watching.
To watch it.
Okay.
Right.
So it made the idea of rebooting the show and trying to get back to what made the show a hit,
mm-hmm,
a little bit tricky.
Yeah, it is.
So they've already said, well, we're going to ignore the last season.
Right.
I think they have to acknowledge it in some form or fashion. But here's the thing. In the case of Will and Grace, same thing. On their final, they skipped ahead 20 years where supposedly the two main lead actors, the two main lead characters, Will and Grace, had not talked to each other for 20 years.
Right.
And they didn't get back as friends until 20 years after the first episode.
Right.
They did a skip ahead to the future.
Right.
And the only thing that brought them back together as friends is apparently their kids had met each other in college.
Oh.
And then they reunited as a result of that.
Okay.
So now they're going to have to explain that because it's not 20 years later.
Right.
So that's another issue. So each show had what you were talking about, baggage?
Mm-hmm. It's baggage.
Baggage with these two shows.
Right.
But in the case of Cheers, when Cheers ended, they ended the show where things weren't kind of necessarily like they didn't blow everything up. The bar was still open.
Yeah.
Sam was still there.
Yeah.
He was contemplating kind of having an identity crisis, but he kind of, at the show, it just ended with him doing what he always did, bartending at Cheers.
And Shelley.
And, you know, they had the other characters, but those characters kind of came in and out. But Norm, Cliff, still at the bar.
Right.
Nothing changed.
Right.
Would that have been the better reboot because it had less baggage?
The problem is that there was so much popular... Here's the problem with both those shows.
Uh-huh.
Roseanne Barr, huge, huge in the re-syndication on cable networks.
Yeah.
You've got Nick at Night, you've got TV Land, still playing these shows.
Still playing, still very
and
popular.
And Cheers is very still a package deal.
It's still around.
There's 10 years of it. Yeah. Same with MASH. So it's very hard to redo a reboot as well as a finale 10 years after.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to do that. And it's very hard to write that, either for a movie or a TV movie.
Well, not all finales have worked. Like, the Seinfeld is one of the most infamous.
Right.
Where they all went to jail.
That's your generation. I'm talking about MASH and Cheers. And
MASH, and great ending.
Right.
But it ended the way it had to end.
Right. But if they come back 10 years later and they reintroduce these characters, then everybody... You have to understand that Ted Danson is he's live on NCSI's things. He's doing all these other shows, and he's already still on the TV.
But I guess the core of the question I'm asking is if you got a show that ended without blowing everything up, like Cheers, and then you have two shows that basically tried to blow everything up in the end and throw caution to the wind.
And get rid of it.
And get rid of it. Yeah. Like, because they didn't think they were ever going to come back.
Right.
Because at the time, people weren't doing these new sequel series had not become a thing yet.
Right.
Like, there had been some,
right,
but not to the degree they're doing them now.
That's
where there's one new one coming out every month.
That's correct.
It's a trend right now.
It is a trend.
It's trendy. It's very trendy.
Because the actors are still alive. They're still active in acting.
But if you got a show...
you can write it. You can still write it as they jump the shark.
If you got a show like about a bar, you know bars where people that hang out in bars, they hang out in bars for years.
Oh, but those characters...
And they never go away.
Right, but those characters, we love those characters so much. I would love to see a reboot of Seinfeld again. We love those characters too much.
I would like to see Seinfeld again. Okay, but here's the thing. You look at they just did the Slim Fast commercial a couple of years ago with the Cheers people.
Yeah.
Norm, Cliff... And they had Rebecca, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah. Look who's back.
Holy moly, Terry Hilty, Indiana. It's not even the beard talking.
50 pounds down, thanks to Jenny Craig.
You know, last time I saw a beauty like you, I was
dreaming.
I was dreaming.
It looked just like the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Had looked years ago.
And that probably rebooted in the writer's mind, said, we can do one more.
And that's what made me think, they could do a little micro season of this.
Uh-huh. Eight shows.
Ted Danson hasn't gotten fat.
Right.
He still is in good shape.
He's in good shape.
We get to
but
see.
But he's got gray hair in another show.
Well,
that's the problem. There's baggage there.
Well, even on the original show, he was already bald. He was wearing a wig when he played Sam.
That's true.
He had to do the wig.
Yeah.
Which is what I'll be doing soon.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but here.
That's going to be real important.
When
you're doing a podcast.
When I reboot Captain Badass, I'll probably be in a wig, hair extensions.
Yeah, we're going to have to put a wig on you.
Hair weave.
Well, we're doing a show where you're going to be NASA fat ass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, you disagree. Are you disagreeing with my notion that Cheers would have been the better reboot than Roseanne and Will and Grace?
I disagree because these characters are already working. Roseanne Barr is like a desperate
she needs the money. She needs the gig.
She's also and also
John Goodman? No, he's not.
He doesn't need. He makes big movies and he has no baggage.
Critically acclaimed actor.
Huh?
Critically acclaimed film
actor. What's the other one that you wanted to reboot? Oh, Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Okay.
Well, none of those people are really.
They need work too.
They need the work
because their shows faltered.
Uh-huh.
So they would love a reboot. But I don't think, I don't agree that Cheers needed to become first, because those other actors from Cheers are well off into their hinterland, and Cheers continues to play continuously on Nick at Night and TV Land.
I think you're saying that's because of their advanced age. The actors, it was an older show.
Although they want to see it, and they've got a certain amount of baggage, but Ted Danson is still hot on his show.
Yeah, he's still working as a TV actor. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
because if you
he's a great actor. He's a great actor. If you he well earned his
and he doesn't need it. See, but yeah. Roseanne Barr, on the other hand, you've seen her pop up on all these comedy shows and these judges and shit. So she is all for working again.
She was on Alex Jones' show a couple of years ago, being interviewed about the election.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and she's tried some other shows. She did. She's on Last Man Standing comedy. She guest on there.
Yeah,
she did a guest on.
Great. She's great.
Oh, she's very talented. I always like Roseanne.
But I'm just saying,
she's witty and she's funny.
To reboot that before Cheers. I mean, Cheers is great if you can have the writing and you got the script and you got all the actors.
Yeah.
All the actors are ready to do that. But I don't think it should be any faster than Roseanne Barr and Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Because that's the same era. And they're still playing him? That's the problem.
Well, and you mentioned Ted Danson. Yeah, he has steadily worked throughout the years. He did some films. He's done other TV shows. He had this other show recently. I don't think he's doing the CSI stuff anymore.
Well, I mean, that's where I saw him.
Yeah, but then he did last season. He had a show where he was playing an angel.
NBC. Horrible thing.
And I don't think it made it.
So
I'm like, now's the window. He just had a bomb. Mm-hmm. He's ready to come back and do Cheers now.
He definitely is.
So have I changed your mind?
You've changed my mind, but I still think he should do the Cheers now.
So I changed your mind.
Yeah, okay.
I changed his mind.
Do
I talked him into it. All right. What's gonna get a sequel next? What's gonna get a prequel next? And what's gonna get a reboot next? Sequel, prequel, reboot time. A reboot time. And the faceless fish, it's gonna swim up.
Where's the rest of don't we have 10?
Are you gonna put the faceless fish on your movie? Can it eat the shrimp?
It would be great.
It would terrorize and eat the shrimp, faceless fish?
It has to have a bigger mouth with teeth. But now, is that all you agree and agree? That's all you got?
We do three.
I thought you said 10.
Oh, no, we do three.
Oh, you only do 10.
Three of agree or disagree.
Oh, I see. Okay. What was the third one?
That was the Cheers.
Cheers, fish.
Cheers, fish, and Dark Universe.
Oh, Dark Universe.
See, you lost count.
Sorry.
All right. Thoughts and advice.
Very good.
To close out this damn show.
Oh, boy.
I got some thoughts. So this morning, I had to go to the grocery store to grab a couple of things.
Yep.
We had some hot dogs before the podcast.
It was great.
I grilled it. Pretty good hot dog, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I should open a hot dog stand.
You should have a stand down there on Congress and 6th.
That's the place.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make hot dogs.
Captain Badass.
The Captain Badass hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Captain Badass presents hot dog stand.
Hot dogs.
So here's the thing.
Hot dog, DD dog.
And my dog was out the dog, Skittle, was out sunbathing.
But we didn't talk about Battlestar Galactica.
We're not going to talk about Battlestar Galactica. So
it was a reboot.
That was another show that rebooted.
Oh, we're going to redo that next time.
But that was a remake.
We're going to do TV shows.
The Battlestar Galactica was a straight-up remake.
Oh, it was?
When they did it, yeah.
Okay.
So here's my thought. I have to go potty while I'm at the grocery store. And they have the men's and women's restroom. And it's those restrooms that are one toilet.
Yeah.
So yeah, you lock it.
So it's a common.
So you lock it. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, it's common.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
So you lock the door when you're in there.
What's wrong with that?
Because it's not a multi-stall.
Sure.
It's not a multiplex bathroom.
With movies in it and popcorn?
Yeah.
Hot dogs?
Now, that would be another way to really make the movie
theater
experience.
But I don't want to eat while I'm over the toilet.
Yeah, so that you didn't like
that's
my idea
nasty.
Of a lounge seat / toilet for the theater.
And a little cubbyhole and a shower.
Do you ever go and use these... Do you ever use these restrooms that have, and I can't, and I try, and I do everything in my power to put this man in a straitjacket so he would sit still while I'm doing a podcast with him, and he's still, I can't get him to go for it.
What do you want him to go?
I'm going to hit you with a horse tranquilizer.
Okay.
Try to settle you down. So there's the thing. You ever go to these restrooms, public, that are what you call the common?
Yeah,
they're not a multiplex.
That's right.
You lock the door and you're doing your business, however long it takes, and there's always the person that comes and knocks on the door
happens
and,
is...
Or the other one is the person that tries to open the door.
Sorry.
Like, and they give a little extra, like trying to hint, get out.
Sorry.
Okay. I understand having to go really badly, but there's the thing. When I'm in the restroom, I'm doing my business.
Yeah.
Is you know, I'm in the middle of it.
Might be they should have.
I'm not going to stop in the middle of that and
answer the door
and move and answer the door. And I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to scoot over and let you have half the toilet.
Maybe they ought to have a hole in the door.
That's a peek hole.
No, a hole that you could excretate.
Well, here's the thing: is like what I'm not going to. And what it does is it hinders.
It interrupts you.
It interrupts me, and sometimes it hinders my ability to be able to finish my business.
Right. You need a bigger latch.
And what it so I'm here's the thing. My thought and advice to you is: if you're one of those assholes. Yeah. That's out there doing that when I'm trying to take a potty. I'm going, next time you do it, I'm going to take a piece of the toilet paper and I'm going to scoop up some poop off my asshole.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open the door and I'm going to throw it out at you and I'm going to close the door and lock it again. And I'm hoping,
they'll be waiting.
And I'm hoping that it's going to hit you somewhere.
It's like a monkey.
Where it leaves a poop stain on your pants.
And the monkey throws the feces.
Now, they may want to kick my ass as soon as I come
the
out.
The monkey throws the feces. Okay.
That they may want to kick my ass as soon as I come out of the restroom for throwing dirty toilet paper at them.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'll tell you what, I bet you they will never do that ever again.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Pavlov's
dog? On the
Pavlov, Pavlov's?
Yeah.
What is it called? Pavlov?
Pavlov's whatever.
But once you've been trained.
Once you're trained, you ring the bell. Pavlov's bell.
I mean, you just got to wait it out, people. When you're sitting there, you know the door
on
is
the
locked.
On the
somebody
movie,
is in there.
On the movie set, it says occupy. Okay. Yeah. When you go into the bathroom, it says occupy. That's the problem with restrooms everywhere.
Yeah.
It should say occupy.
It should have
when you hit lock. When you hit lock, it's occupied.
It'll say occupied.
Right.
Yeah. In big
letters,
bright
and flashing
Las
lights.
Las Vegas flashing light
flashing
letters.
Light, yeah.
So people will get the.
Well, now in Vegas, there's plenty. So, but not here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Kirk Hunter, Kirk-O-Matic.
Kirk-O-Matic.
Gibby, with his box of toys. Where did you get all this stuff?
I've been a sound man, and I've done lots of sound effects on movies.
Is like the old radio days, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but they didn't use
the sound
effects off a computer.
Right. That's why I thought that this would be an added value to our Battlestar Galactica.
Well, you know, I would like to have an actual soundboard that has a few basic effects on it. Like a...
You need to visit Toys R Us, and you need to go to Toy Joy more often.
Well, I want a button that I can hit that does the drum, the comedian drum, the dun-up-dump.
Yeah, they
and
have
an applause button.
They have them.
At Toy Joy?
They have limited things, just like that little deal.
Can I eBay one?
You could eBay one.
Amazon one? Prime?
Might.
Well, I'll look into
they
that.
They have a little keyboard.
I'll look into it. Because I have to edit in.
Yeah, all this stuff.
I have to edit in sound effects afterwards.
This would be an inspiring show.
And it takes off. It takes a lot of time to do that.
Sure.
And it takes me longer to get a show done.
Right.
Because everything's done in post.
Right. But you should.
Because I don't have a producer.
You don't have a producer.
I'm the producer and the host.
And if I was doing this and you had a producer at the board doing this and helping you, you would have it pre-edited.
When you're doing a live show.
Right. It's tougher.
And you have a producer.
Yeah.
They can do the sound effects in
right
while you're doing
at the right time
and you can just keep talking
and very limited
and sometimes people would love it if we just stopped keep talking
right and that's why we have more cow noise.
And there it is, just like the old radio days.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right, Kirk Hunter, I want to thank you. Episode number 38 is in the books,
in the can. Yeah.
No pun intended, but pun intended.
Definitely
in the can. All right, everyone. Peace.
Peace.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.
It's a Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Oh, Battlestar Galactica reboot. Stop it.
Three settings on this.